Hey, good morning, my podcast audience. Hey, today we're going to do a little different type podcast. I've got an invited guest. For the purpose of this podcast, I'm just going to refer to him as Mr. X. HIPAA violations as far as respect to health information is still protected. But I'm going to be talking to Mr. X today because it is apparent that for whatever reason, in Columbus, Ohio, there's a policy that you want to notify people who have been in contact with employees who have tested or have a confirmed case of the coronavirus. Now, I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. That makes good sense. That makes good business sense, since we have to be there. You know, since they labeled us essential, we kind of have to be there. But that makes good sense. But now it is flabbergasting to me to try to figure out why the post office won't follow their own procedures. But yet they bring us into little town hall meetings and just continue to fabricate their own stories as if no one's going to fact check them. Well, today we're going to have a conversation with Mr. X. I'm going to let Mr. X tell you what transpired in his condition or in that condition, and then you draw a conclusion on your own. Do you think they really care about us? Hey, good evening. Good morning, Mr. X. How you doing today, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And I do thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to my podcast audience, because it's important that postal employees understand, and I gotta say this because I feel this, that the guidance coming out of headquarters to run this organization is good guidance. Once that guidance hits the local level, the district levels, or just a little below the district levels, I don't know where they're getting guidance from, because it is not the same guidance coming from headquarters. And what I mean, I'm gonna segue right into the guidance pertaining to employees who are confirmed to have the coronavirus, or the coronavirus confirmed in the workplace. Let's use that as a better title. And I'm speaking with Mr. X. Mr. X has returned to work. Mr. X had was, I don't know, you tell me what happened, Mr. X. What got you a couple of days off from work?
Well, what happened was the story that I did tell, basically, is that, you know, I really didn't know where I got it from, but the indications that I gave was because one of my family members had it, and one of my friends had it. So it was often for me to go get tested. I went to go get tested, and I also tested positive without having any symptoms. So, on that point, I was instructed to take my 14 days.
Now, if you don't mind, Mr. X, I'm going to interrupt you just a little bit, because I want everybody to fully understand what took place, and then we can go back and look at the rules and regulations on what should have taken place. So now, when you say you were instructed, who instructed you? Who did you contact once you found out that you had a positive test?
Once I had a positive test, I immediately contacted my supervisor. And from the conversations that I have with the supervisor, I basically was told that, you know, 14 days in quarantine, and that's what I did at that particular time.
Okay, so you notified your supervisor. Your supervisor, from being on the phone with you, authorized, or it's going to get authorized, 14 days to quarantine. Is that correct?
Yes, also, but the hospital also said it also.
Okay. So yes, we had documentation from the hospital to quarantine. So in line with the Family First Act, you met the criteria that you should be quarantined. I think it's criteria number one, or to self-quarantine. So you met that criteria. So now you contact your supervisor, you're authorized 14 days off. Did you have any other contact with the post office after the supervisor gave you 14 days off.
Yes, I think about 3 or 4 days after, I received a call from one of the appointed nurses there, and I guess it was to the point where they said I didn't put in the information correctly. And from that point on, I kind of researched some more, asked the person that contacted me to research their research a little bit more, because I did everything I was supposed to do, turn in my information, make sure that I have everything good. And from that point on, I received another call back again by 3 different people that were on the phone.
But your first contact, after you told your supervisor what happened, you told your supervisor you tested positive. From that point on, you were authorized, you know, we'll get the paperwork done in a day or so, but you were authorized 14 days quarantine, but the post office didn't contact you again until 3 or 4 days after?
That is correct.
So, again, and the point I want to draw to the podcast audience is, from day one, when Mr. X identified to his supervisor that he had a positive test, we're talking 3 or 4 days before the post office even got back to Mr. X to, now we'll continue on what happened. So once they got back to you, what did they do? Well, what did they say?
It is, they asked me a question about what happened, who was around, and I actually told them, you know, roughly at this time, you know, I was still worried about my health, worried about my family members, and worried about other friends, and worried about my children also being affected by this. I gave them at least 4 or 5 names in the beginning, because, again, when the phone call came to me, it was more or less of, I was on the defensive because they were just asking questions out of the blue, basically, you know, trying to get some type of information, I guess. So it kind of threw me for a loop. So in the present time, I wasn't aware how to really actually sit down and to actually listen to that question, because once I did tell them, the people that I knew that I was around, afterwards, after gathering my thoughts, I really had more information to share with them, which I didn't get a phone call back from.
So, again, I'm going to keep recapping because, again, I want the audience to understand. So from the first day you notified the post office that you were positive, 3 to 4 days later they contacted you. So when they contacted you, am I to understand that when they didn't question you, you didn't feel as though, or excuse me, did you feel as though their questioning method was designed to actually get information to contact affected employees, or did you feel like you were being questioned for, I don't know, trying to be tricked up into something? Because I don't... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, from the beginning, I thought I was kind of being kind of tricked, because the first question that they asked was like, was you around someone for more than 10 minutes? And I didn't know where that came from.
Okay. So, you know, again, Mr. X, we call this an ATM, another teaching moment, little slang that we throw around at the work. If the post office had contacted you and said to you, Mr. X, we understand, first of all, they should have done it the same day, but let's stay with the 3 or 4 days after. Mr. X, we understand that you have a positive test. We're trying to gather information to see who was around you that may have been affected. If they put that question to you in that manner, would that have relaxed you? Would that have relaxed you, and maybe you could have got your thoughts clear?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. It would have been more relaxed. It would have been more at ease, and it gave me a little bit more time to think about who I was around, because, again, during the course of the day, it makes
yes.
it kind of hard to know.
Real hard.
All
right. Yeah, it makes it real hard to think about everybody you've been around all day.
Yeah, it makes it really hard because you know, through the course of an 8-hour day or even more, or working overtime or anything like that, it makes it hard for you to remember who you were all around.
Now, let me ask you, at any point during this process, did you speak with anybody from your union?
At the particular time, no, I did not.
Okay, so we notified the post office. 3 or 4 later, they came back at you with a strange questioning technique. They got information from you. Eventually, they got information from you. I understand you provided them with several names, and I gotta say, I don't have the, and I don't need the names of the individuals, because it is understood that they did not contact at least some of those individuals on that paper. And again, if that is the policy, because we're talking about a pandemic here, some people may take it lightly, but we're talking about a serious health situation. So why they would not contact the folks that they ask you to name is beyond my wildest imagination. And I wonder, see, and this is what I say, I wonder, is Postal Headquarters aware that this is how this policy is being implemented? Because as I said in the beginning of the show, and I'll continue to say it, the guidance at the headquarters is about taking care of the employees. But once these plant managers and some district managers get their hands on it, it's not the same always. So after you've given them the information, let's talk about you getting ready to come back to work. So how did you go about getting cleared?
Well, what happens is the health department, they also call you. They try to get information from you. Again, you know, just the person that you don't know who's calling you.
Right.
And with this day and time, someone call you and say, well, I'm such and such, doesn't really keep you in a safe place.
Right. I got you.
The regular number, someone just off the bat asking you questions, or I'm this person. So you're kind of reluctant because of the fact you're still fresh in your head, that you still hit the virus and you don't know how it's going to react because
right.
Of what's happening to other people who are infected with the virus.
Right. I get it, man. I understand. And, you know, so once they ask you, who cleared you to come back to work, the post office or Department of Health?
Our Department of Health has to clear you first. They don't come out and test you. They just call you to ask you if you're feeling okay, if you have any symptoms. If you say no, then they automatically send the letter out to you, and then they will send, and then you will have to go to the post office and make sure that they receive that letter from the health department.
Okay, so, okay, you're self-quarantined at the positive test, 14 days. I guess the health department has ways of determining, based on your response, are you clear or not. So now you're cleared by the health department. You take that letter to the post office, and then you just come on back to work. Now, when you take that letter to the, does the post office do anything additional once you come to work, or once you're cleared, you just clock in and go about your business like everybody else?
Well, what they do is they actually stop you because you have to stop and go to the front office, and then an immediate NDO or supervisor comes out, read you some safety talk that's already been passed out, and basically ask you the same questions. Are you okay? Do you have a headache? Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And then after that, they give you a packet of all the safety talks that they had thus far. And then they give you one pair of gloves, a pair of masks, and a hand sanitizer. And that's it.
Okay. I mean, I understand that. And I just wanted to share an actual real experience someone went through being tested positive and returning back into the work environment. So we go through all of that, and this is where I say the post office really needs to readjust or rethink their thought process. So after Mr. X returns to work, there's another case. So we get rustled into the town hall meeting. All of the tour goes into that cafeteria. One meeting, one tour. Social distancing is talked about, but it's not practiced. But, okay, so we're all in there. And let me tell you something. I understand, because I was not at work this day, so I'm going to definitely rely on you, Mr. X, to tell me what happened. I understand that the lead NDO had a town hall meeting, and it was anything but, hey, let me really tell you what's going on. Could you give me like a quick recap of what took place?
What happened is we all went to the home meeting, and basically he was just reiterating that there had been a confirmed case, and a lot of employees, I can tell you a lot of employees were stunned because it's getting worse, even though they tried to make it seem like, okay, well, we only had a confirmed count, which is good versus other officers. It still didn't bring anybody at ease because of the fact of people are starting to come up positive, and there's people, I don't want to say people, employees, who also has been affected there, or people who do not have symptoms still working in the building and basically have no remedy for that or no recourse for that or anything to say, well, we're going to test anybody. So what happened in the meeting was he was very, very rude and very disrespectful to anybody who was asking questions. It was more or less, do you understand what I read on the paper? Let me read this again, since you apparently can't understand what I'm saying when I'm reading the paper. So he wasn't given really no more insight other than that. He wasn't given any comfort or being respectful to, you know, other people's concerns. Because at the end of the day, you know, when someone's infected, they're going to be thinking about themselves and their family and other people. So there was a question to pose that, you know, what is the post office going to do, you know, as far as people that infected from when he's coming back? And he said, well, if people were basically not selfish and not idiots and goofballs.
I'm sorry. Well, I got to hold here for a minute. Did you say if people were not selfish, idiot, and goofballs? Is that what he said to you? Well, to the group? To the group?
He said it to the whole group because the fact of, I said basically, you know, when you're being questioned about who were you in contact with, that's not the first thing that's on your mind. The first thing that's on your mind is yourself, for one.
Right.
Your family, your wife, or husband, or your kid, or a family member that's infected. And he's like, well, that's very selfish of you. Why would you want to think about yourself when you should be thinking about others that you've been around? And I think that, you know, you're an idiot for not telling someone the truth because of the fact you've been affected, you've been around that person. So he said, it takes a goofball. That's what he basically said.
Wow.
So from that point on, there was no sensitivity in his answer at all, and understanding that people are human, and people don't, sometimes when the question is asked to them, they're really on the mindset of, okay, you know, I have this virus, am I going to die? If I give it to my husband or wife, are they going to die? Or if I give it to my children, are they going to be affected? Are they going to die? Because you're seeing people die from this virus every single day, and it's getting worse. And he wasn't sensitive at all to anybody's questions, or for my say, he wasn't sensitive to my needs either, because, you know, we all human, no one's perfect, but I would never call anyone an idiot or goofball when I'm in that type of position.
So, you know, and again, because, you know, your audio is coming in a little weaker, but so I'm just going to give a recap to my podcast audience. Columbus, Ohio City Gate office was called into a town meeting, and during that meeting, when a question was asked, again, it don't matter what the question is, the senior lead NBO response was someone was selfish, an idiot, and a goofball in order to, because you thought of yourself and your family before you thought of people in your work area. And I just want to say how, I don't know, man, how just crazy it is that that individual would make that statement and then turn right around and not contact the people that the confirmed employee gave him the name of. So now, you know, I mean, so, but he stood there, and again, I wasn't there, but I got more emails and text messages on that than I needed, that he stood there in that middle of that group. Again, I say to the district, if you're trying to deliver a compassionate message, that's not the person that you want doing it. Now, if you really don't care how the message is delivered and you just want to check the box, hey, we spoke to him, then you leave that person as the face for your organization, which is not a very good look right now.
No, it's not. Like I said, he was rude. It was other people asking questions. And at one point, a particular person asked a question and three times. And he said, well, apparently you didn't hear me when I was reading, so I'm going to read it again for you to make sure you understand what I'm reading. And if you don't, oh, well, we're going to keep it moving. So the person asked him a different question. He said, well, my response again is the same thing I told you. Well, again, if I'm reading this, this paper, you're not listening, then it's your fault. So he was really rude, and he really wasn't, like I said, sensitive at all to anyone that was asking questions. Then I asked him another question. I basically went into, well, you did a deep cleaning, but then you said it's not airborne. That is not true. And that's when he proceeded to cut me off. And I was still trying to finish my statement, and he went on to say, well, Mr. X is such and such. We're not going to listen to him. We're going to keep going. Basically, again, other people were upset after the meeting, coming up to me saying, well, why was he so rude? You were just telling the truth. And he didn't want to hear the truth at all, because I was also going to say that instead of him giving the actual town hall meeting talk, it should have been a nurse or a doctor that should have been there to answer any questions or any concerns anyone had, versus someone like that that's in a place of authority to act like that and act immature and childish and unsensitive.
Now, and I do understand, I don't know it to be an actual fact, that we now have a nurse in the building. There's a bid job or a position, not bid, but there's a position as for a nurse in City Gate. But I just wanted to, and I do thank you, Mr. X, for stopping by. And again, that was real world. Now, again, and I always say, Postal Service, why do you write policies that you don't intend on enforcing? And this is a very simple one. It just shows if you do the right thing, all you're latently doing, is you're showing postal employees that you have some consideration about their well-being. But I'm telling you, when in the middle of a pandemic, everybody knows that's a very bad time, you still can't follow compliance rules with the added security or protection to your employees. That's just crazy. And then when they ask questions, and I gotta say, usually if a person is not prepared to properly answer a question, to be very defensive is a good technique aimed at stopping additional questions. You know what I'm saying? If I don't know, if I don't know what I'm talking about, but okay, they got me out here talking to you. You start asking me questions that I see I don't have answers to. Well, I'm going to be curt with you. I'm going to be short with you so that I can subliminally discourage you from asking additional questions. And it's so funny because me and a fellow mail handler talked about that same lack of leadership concept or principle that seems to be very, very present in this situation. Hey, but listen, I want to say, Mr. X, is there anything you want to close out with before we go ahead and end our interview for tonight?
No, that's basically it. You know, just like I said, I just wanted to reiterate that you know, people they had a charge to actually ask questions and answer questions. Basically, was a real person. He doesn't understand some of the things that happen as far as like you know the tests that they do give you. You tested positive for coronavirus. It's not FDA approved. He didn't know that. He didn't let me get a chance, you know, tell people that it's not FDA approved, or that you know there's three stages to the virus. Basically, there's a mild stage, there's a severe stage, and a fatal stage. A lot of people don't know that, and that is, you know, even when you tested positive. Self-quarantine for 14 days, basically, they don't retest you, because in the beginning, the post office said that you had to get retested, which it didn't, you know, was incorrect about that. You don't get retested unless you have symptoms and you're still not feeling well. So then you will self-quarantine for another X amount of days, depending on what the health department says. But again, he didn't know that. And I think that really kind of sparked me in that he said that it's not everyone. But, you know, even the questions that were asked, no one asked me what unit was I in to do a deep cleaning since it's not airborne. So I didn't understand why. He said, well, we do a deep cleaning every time the person is tested positive in that area. And that is not true because it is airborne, and from talking to several doctors, my family members, my friends, is definitely airborne. So,
well, of course, it's airborne. That's why we have to wear those masks. So when we sneeze, that's one example of it being airborne. But wow,
yeah, and you don't have to be talking to someone for 6 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes. It can come from a cough, a sneeze. And when you cough or sneeze, although you have your mask on, you still can get it because basically if you sneeze, it can get on the person's arm. Or it can get on the person's neck. And we all know, I'm not a doctor, but we all know that your throat is the nose of a hawk's neck.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, please?
I said, we all know that you know throat and your ears are all connected.
Yes.
So it can get into you that way also.
All right. So listen, Mr. X, I really do appreciate you hanging out on the cast with me this morning. And I think that it's valuable to postal employees to hear actual. See, we all know what's supposed to happen, just like in our contract. But it don't happen, and sometimes we never get to hear what actually happened. So I thank you for stopping by and talking. And as I close, I want to say to Postal Headquarters, those folks sitting down on LaFlante Plaza, you got to understand, I hope you understand that the individual you have conveying your message of compassion and empathy is not doing a very good job right now. And if the person responsible for disseminating information is rather exciting individuals rather than understanding, then you might want to look at having someone else disseminate that information. Again, that's if you care. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge, and this is the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Have a wonderful day, folks, and that's all. As always, follow the podcast on Blog Talk Radio, or definitely send me an invite to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast page on Facebook. Help me grow the podcast while I help keep you informed.